broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. You know we reject revolution. You know we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. And it is, what, 4th of July Eve day? That's right. And we're not going to be live tomorrow or Thursday. I mean, or Friday, I should say. We will be live Saturday, though, and we got a barn burner broadcast for you, a fellow talk show host, along with a good sheriff, will be with us on Saturday. And I've got some incredible interview rebroadcasts that you may not have even heard for tomorrow. Normally, I'm live on the 4th of July, or a lot of the time. But once in a while, we got to take off and take a break and spend some time with family. And the 4th of July is my birthday, so happy birthday to me, I guess. Yesterday on the broadcast, we had Lauren Enriquez with us. She is public relations manager of Human Coalition.org, rescuing children, serving families. They have put in place a national rescue system directly competing with Planned Parenthood with a goal of making abortion unthinkable and unavailable. Amen to that. Anyway, we talked about the extremism of the abortion lobby going into the 2020 elections, and Lauren did a phenomenal job. We truly appreciate her. We're talking about the age of pro-death, murder, and infanticide, folks. The Senate will not even protect babies that are already born these days. What a shame on the Senate. Republican-controlled, I might clearly articulate as well. Hour 2, Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. We had our guest on, Mr. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. And we talked about the NRLB settlement, scolds the union and the employer for violating Michigan's right to work laws. Yeah, even when we win court cases, folks, we still can't win because they violate the law and then there's zero accountability. Yeah, the government ranchers found that out, too. The government got their head handed to them by a judge, but it makes no difference. They don't obey the law, huh? We talked about the National Right to Work Foundation celebrates the anniversary of the Janus decision, which freed public sector workers from forced union dues. But again, they got to keep battling so that even the law is upheld. A lot of work. I commend National Right to Work. Just doing a great job. Righttowork.org to learn more, to become part of what they're doing. They join us monthly for updates on what's happening with the National Labor Relations Board, the unions, all that stuff. And a lot of people think we're anti-unions. That's false. We are not. We are anti-forced unions, though. I'll tell you that right now. Free association is the key to the republic, folks. Cops now target crime of bad food. Now, Joseph Farah over at WorldNet Daily has a G2 bulletin breaking this down in detail. It is shocking what the heck's going on with this thing. I mean, they're literally globally now trying to determine who's the bad food actors. And what it really means is government takeover globally of food production and distribution and consumption. I mean, it is scary, folks. What's going on, because who put the government in charge of food, you know, production, creation, I don't know what you want to say, growing or whatever, farming, they're literally trying to control it all. And what is bad food? Any food the government doesn't want you to eat? Smacks of tyranny, for sure. We also talked about a fraternity that pledged $20 million to the Huntsman Cancer Institute, they say, for cancer research and treatment. And I'm glad that they're trying to help with a good cause. This is where, you know, people can put their money where their mouth is when they want to. Just imagine if a single fraternity put $20 million together for us, right? You know, small groups can put their money where their mouth is if they choose, but it's got to be more than one. You know, or two or three, it's got to be 50 or 100 or 500 or 1,000. Even 1,000 people with a dollar a day could save this radio network for years. Okay, 1,000 people with $1 a day would be $365,000 a year. We could really run this radio network successfully with that kind of money. Right now, it's just a shoestring. Sam and about five other people at most put the money in to run this thing. 99% Sam and a little bit from others. We could really make a difference, folks. It takes a few, though. Right? All right, Kevin Durant to sign with Brooklyn Nets. And Sam sounds off on sports. That was the wrap of yesterday's show. You know, we don't talk about sports all the time, but we do when we find it noteworthy. Okay, we don't talk about sports for just sports' sake. But when we find role models or leaders or examples of good or how it benefits America or promotes principles that matter, you know, then we do. You know, if a sports figure, you know, decides to get married, a one-man, one-woman marriage or something, we celebrate that. Or if they have children or if they promote their family or their parents. Well, Kevin Durant, I guess, promoting his family, right, Kurt? Talking about his mom stuff like that. So we like that. You know, that's why we bring it up. And we then dovetail that discussion into the Jazz. The Utah Jazz used to be the, New Orleans Jazz. But then they got, was it the 70s, Kurt, that they came to Utah?
I think so.
Anyway, and doing a great job since then. The Larry, my gosh, what's his name? His name slips my mind now for some,
Larry Miller?
Yeah, the Miller family, Larry Miller. Family really doubling down and making that possible. And now they're taking it to the next level and bringing just some class acts to Utah. And I think it's really good news. Too bad for the Memphis Grizzlies. They lost a well-liked, well-behaved, appropriate player to our game. What was that guy's name, Kurt? Mike Conley?
I think that's right.
Anyway, great shooter, great guy. I've been in the NBA for, 8 years, I think, Kurt? Or no, 12 years for Mike, 8 years for the other new guy that I can't pronounce his name. Donovich or whatever it is. It's not Donovich. It's from Croatia. And I guess it's because the Jazz coach has coached in other leagues and has some real great foreign connections to get some of these unique players to bring into the league. Pretty neat stuff, if you ask me. And they're attracting great role models and great people and, team basketball. It's something to behold. It is amazing. Anyway, that's the recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It's still available online at libertyroundtable.com, free and on demand. And that's brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com or localhoneyman.com. That's localhoneyman.com. Or you can call him directly if you choose, 801-669-2211. It's 801-669-2211. Headline says, M1A1 tanks arrive in D.C. for President Donald Trump's 4th of July celebration. Kurt, you want to respond to that?
Well, we haven't seen that, at least
they say there's video out there about it, Kurt.
What I mean is it's we happened, haven't seen buddy. It that I could remember.
In other words, no one's done that before in America?
Well, I can't remember tanks in Washington, D.C. before, but
neither can I.
Know that, typically, you can have almost any kind of, I never knew that demolition derbies were part of, the celebration for the 4th of July. And, I moved to a place where that was a big thing. And I kind of prefer a little bit more, at least enjoying what the, servants of our country, those who've done a lot of good to protect us for so many years now. I don't mean to say that we need to encourage or enhance the whole military aspect, but I know that they're some of the most patriotic people of all, the ones who decide to serve us in those areas, so they'll be part of this presentation.
Yeah, it's polarizing to say the least. Some are just way against Donald, saying he's just, he's a military man, kind of like Tiananmen Square. He thought that was an incredible show of power and strength, and he wants to deliver the same message in America. Those are the big hardened Trump enemies. I don't really agree with that. And then some say, look, we don't want to celebrate the military too much. That's not what we do in America. But I do want to kind of go back to an earlier time in this country a little bit. And in the earlier times of America, in D.C. and or Boston or other places, they did have some displays of military. It wasn't necessarily an intended show of force against the people. Because remember, they had built a rapport with the people, Kurt, that the founding fathers were for the people. Right? And they had a rapport. And so when they had military, it was, let's defend ourselves from foreign enemies and from domestic enemies. And let's make sure that we protect our country. It's about self-defense. It's not an offensive military display. It's a military display of gratitude for those who serve us. And the sad part about today's events is now, because we have built this attitude of a war machine or a military-industrial complex or a whatever else, now whenever we try to celebrate the defense of America, it becomes part of the offensive agenda. And that's, in my mind, where we kind of go off the rails. I have no problem being patriotic to celebrate those who have defended our wonderful country. I'm grateful for their sacrifice. I'm extremely grateful for their service. When they come back, we owe them a debt of gratitude to care for them and make sure that they can integrate into society and that they get the care they need. There's no doubt about all that. But when we go from a defensive posture to an offensive posture, we've crossed a line. And when we go from instead of a gratitude celebration of those who have served us and protected us, to more of a look at our military might mode, we have crossed a line. I don't know if Trump's crossed that line or not, Kurt. His critics say he has. But from everything that I've seen of the Donald, I'm going to say, well, we'll talk about it.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
So the critics want you to believe that Donald Trump is just kind of like Tiananmen Square, rolling out the tanks as a show of military force. I don't know that that's true. You know what? Donald Trump on the campaign trail was very dove-like, not hawkish. And I know he's surrounded by a bunch of hawks right now, and it's very hard for a man with so much power surrounded by hawks to remain peaceful. But when they say, you know, M1, A1 tanks, they kind of make it probably more bold than it is. Is it a massive Tiananmen Square show of force? I don't think so. Okay, Antifa's more like that, right? But we do cross a line when we go from defensive to offensive. We do cross a line when we, instead of celebrating in gratitude for those who have protect our nation, we celebrate those in military might, if you will. And I think it's not so much whether we have a tank involved in a parade. It's kind of like having a fire engine involved in a parade. Or a police cruiser involved in a parade. You know, when do you deck it out with military hardware to show your military force? That's what dictatorships do. versus when are you celebrating the service rendered, the love given, and the gratitude for the freest country on the face of the earth. And I don't know if Donald's crossing the line here or not, because, you know, you can see a photo on the internet or a video, and it can be very manipulated. Okay, I'd have to be there, and I'd have to know the feeling, and I'd have to see, you know, is it showing off the military hardware? How are the behavior of those who were involved in the tank display? You know, is it a small part of the parade, or is it like the main focus? You know, I don't know all those things. And so there's a lot of people who will defend Donald over this. There's a lot of people who will criticize Donald over this. I'm going to take a step back and teach principle and say, I'm not here to attack Donald at all. I appreciate a 4th of July celebration. I appreciate the Make America Great viewpoint, meaning we want to not just run around the globe apologizing for America, but we want to stand tall and say we are an example of what other countries can be in terms of freedom and the proper role of limited government. I love that stance. Obama was ashamed around the world for America. Donald Trump is proud of America, and I'm glad for that. However, we need to be very careful that it is a celebration of appreciation and gratitude, not a celebration of military might. That it is a celebration of a defensive posture to say we will protect our country and thank the Lord for those who do. Thank them, their families, their sacrifice. In other words, is it a display of gratitude and appreciation? Or is it a show of military might? And I think there's an offensive line that if we cross, we're on the wrong side of, I believe, the Founding Fathers, on the wrong side of history. You know what? I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I don't want to be critical. I want to put things in the proper venue. I, for one, for the 4th of July, will celebrate our great country. I am grateful that we do have a plan for our national defense, for our protection. And the power for that lies in the hands of Congress. I think wisely so, in the blessed separation of powers, supreme law that we have. I love that. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the troops that sacrifice and suffer. And I'm not grateful for their suffering. I'm grateful for their sacrifice and their love and their dedication. I want to make sure that we remain defensive, not offensive, in our celebrations and in our attitudes towards what I call a necessary evil, which is, you know what, to build military hardware in the first place. Look, we need to have the ability to defend ourselves. It is a necessary evil in this world. But at the same time, I want to make sure we have the right attitude towards it. And I hope that I've articulated that. And I'm not about to attack the Donald, because I don't know what's in his heart and in his mind and how he views it. I do hope the hawkish folks are not influencing him to cross those lines from defensive to offensive, from a gratitude attitude to a show of force attitude. I pray that it's done tastefully and on the right side of those lines. That's just my humble two cents. All right, you have any more to say on that before we move on, Kurt?
Well, a little detail that I thought was interesting, you know, is they said that they were concerned about moving the tanks around Washington, D.C. to mess up the roads, you know, tear up the streets and that kind of thing. And that makes sense to me. The Pentagon officials say that they're going to have 2 M1 Abrams tanks. A couple of Bradley fighting vehicles. I don't think that means they fight, but they're called fighting vehicles. And an armored M88 recovery vehicle. They're going to all be parked on the Mall. Now that doesn't, you know, that's the Washington Mall, which is basically the big lawn kind of thing.
It's not even a mall in the traditional sense. It's the different use of the word, folks.
Sure. B-2 stealth bombers and F-22 fighter jets are going to perform in a flyover. We see, flyovers at some of our local events right here as well, Sam. So, having the, some tanks, sitting there, I mean, I don't see that as being some massive, thing. Now, they do.
Well, that's my point. Is it done in good taste with the proper attitude and principles in mind? If so, I don't think it's a problem, Kurt. They're making a big mountain hill out of nothing.
Yeah, the Democrats, they say, were concerned that they were using the military as a prop to score cheap political points. Yeah, because,
see,
of course, the Democrats would never want to score cheap political points.
No, of course not,
sir. They would never do that themselves.
By the way, I'll tell you how they are scoring cheap political points in a minute.
Good point. One thing, just so you know, the president is hoping for a full-fledged military parade for Veterans Day in the fall.
But again, Kurt, when you're talking about Veterans Day, it's a little bit more appropriate, you know, to kind of highlight that to some degree. So, again, I'm not going to say that Donald's taking this out of context. Everybody wants you to believe that in the mainstream press, but I'm telling you, take a step back and do you have a defensive posture or an offensive posture? That tells me a lot about where your heart is and what your agenda is. Secondarily, do you have a gratitude and appreciation in your heart? A way of viewing and celebrating this, or do you have a, we're going to show you who's boss around here, you know, escalating, kind of, do you de-escalate or escalate? You know, it's very clear in your intent, and that to me tells if it's good or bad, right, wrong, I want to focus on principle. All right, I'll tell you, Kurt, and this is a sticky issue, you know, I'm not for socialism of any kind, but I am for giving support to the troops when they come home if they've been put in harm's way by defending our country. That's an area that I do believe there are some appropriate responsibilities that does not go into socialism. This is kind of another scenario that's very strange, and I want to get your take on this. President Trump signed a bill that will deliver $4.6 billion in emergency funding for humanitarian aid and security at our southern border. Let me say that again. Donald Trump signed a bill that will deliver $4.6 billion in humanitarian aid and security at the border. He says the Democrats kind of gave me a bunch of grief over this, but they finally come along. We've got a bill we're proud of, and Donald signed it. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, I'm sure that, there are things that could be done better about it. I don't doubt that at all. But I do know that if you can include, you know, if it says security, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's just so that they can take care of these huge amounts of people that are trying to come into America, Sam. And even though America's got its problems, I mean, just the literal fact that people try to come in whatever way possible to America instead of heading somewhere else in the world should tell you a lot about what we have to offer here.
Amen to that. People aren't leaving in boats. They're coming in droves. I'll tell you that right now for good reason. We are the greatest country on the face of the earth. It's beyond debate. Now, I agree with Donald on this, that, you know what, we do have a crisis, an emergency at the border. Donald's made that claim. We've supported that and told you. We've even had people alive from the border, like Stuart Rhodes and that kind of stuff, come on the radio broadcast and deliver live reports from the border. We have a crisis at the border, folks. It's no doubt. The Democrats denied it and lied. Now they're admitting it. $4.6 billion sounds like a lot of money. I get it. But I want to talk about a couple of principles in relation to this. I do think there is a security reason to call a crisis at the border and deliver funds to protect our nation. I think that's legitimate and justified. And I've said so from the beginning. I also think, I'm not really for the government being involved in humanitarian efforts. But I am for government, you know, dealing with this in a way. What are you going to do when these people are dumped on our side of the border, Kurt, and you try as president to get Congress to change the law and Congress won't cooperate, so the law requires we keep them and do something with them? At some point, Donald's in a bind. Okay, he's going to get blamed for inhumanitarian, you know, et cetera, if he does nothing. I think there is some legitimacy to even a humanitarian situation here. What I think needs to be done, if you want my opinion, though, Kurt, because this is Solutions Radio, I think there is a national security need here, without a doubt. And I'm glad that somebody's come to their senses to do something about it. But I would say this. Why don't you put a tiny tariff on the border with Mexico that would say the Mexicans are going to help participate in paying this as well? And that way, it's a joint effort. And it's constitutional. And we can pay for this. Why dump it all on the taxpayer? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Firefighters are still at the scene of a huge fire at two barrel warehouses at a Jim Beam aging facility in Lexington, Kentucky. Officials believe the fire was caused by a lightning strike. The campaign of one of the many Democrats running for the White House may be faltering now. Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper has shaken up his campaign staff this week. He tells reporters,
We felt that there was, it was the right time for a change.
But reports are his senior staff have been urging him to withdraw since last month and instead consider a run for the U.S. Senate. Days after losing a Supreme Court case, the Trump administration is going forward with printing 2020 census forms that do not include a citizenship question it had wanted. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the capitalist evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fordham has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fordham also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fordham is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FordhamResources.com. That's Fordham, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Another White House official is moving to the 2020 election team, USA's Chris Barnes reports.
White House Senior Advisor for Communications Mercedes Schlapp taking a new job advising the Trump campaign. She's the latest administration official to cross over to the re-election effort ahead of the 2020 contest. Schlapp joined the White House in September of 2017 as a Senior Advisor for Strategic Communications. Campaign officials say that she will be helping with both strategy and Latino outreach thanks to her bilingual capabilities. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
House Democrats have taken the IRS to court to get President Trump's tax returns. The chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Richard Neal, initially asked in April for 6 years of the president's personal and business tax returns. He sent a subpoena in May. They say he'll now sue the IRS, the Treasury Department, and their respective leaders, Steve Mnuchin and Charles Rettig, for the information. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Live and on, live and on your radio, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby. So we're talking about this situation where President Trump signed a bill that'll deliver $4.6 billion in emergency funding for humanitarian aid and security at the border. I support the security completely. There is a crisis at the border. Thank heavens the Democrats are starting to see that reality check. They sure put up a lot of wasted time media attention before that. Nevertheless, I do believe there's a legitimate humanitarian side to this, too. And I know it's not constitutional. I understand some of that. But I also understand that in many ways, what do you do when the law says if somebody comes here, begs for asylum, surrenders themselves to the Border Patrol, which is what James Dobson and Stuart Rhodes and others are saying is literally happening, and then they literally, by our law, get a chance to become on our soil, we have to hold them up while they have a hearing, and then we release them into our society on our soil. You know, what does Donald do? I mean, there needs to be some humanitarian approach here. But here's what I think should happen, since this is Solutions Radio. One, I think we ought to put some tariffs on the Mexican border with Mexico to have them help us pay for it. They came through your country. You're aiding and abetting and supporting this transfer of illegals to our country. It is illegal, and we expect you, the Mexican people, to help cover the cost of some of this. I think that's legitimate and necessary, something nobody's talking about but me. This is one of the greatest think tanks in the world, Liberty Roundtable Live, okay? And I'm telling you, so to put tariffs on the borders to help pay for it would be very wise, because why should the taxpayers, the United States taxpayers, shoulder the whole burden? I don't think they should. All right, that's one thing. The second thing I would like to see President Trump do, and this could be a huge opportunity, to set the stage of how to deal with humanitarian work around the world. It would be a way to back off on social services or welfare services, etc. And what you would do is you would say, listen, we've provided enough seed money to get this started as government because we have a humanitarian responsibility until we can get our laws changed appropriately. We've also put tariffs at the borders to make sure that the Mexicans and some of these other countries through our foreign aid, we're going to have some of these other countries that are kind of the source countries or the originating countries, make sure they help shoulder the bill, the cost of this humanitarian crisis that they have created by their hostility in their countries, etc. So we're going to put tariffs at our borders. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to literally say we've provided our seed money. We've done our responsibility as a nation. Now what we need, though, is the majority of the support and help for this to be churches and nonprofit organizations and charitable groups who will step up to the plate and deliver the bulk of this humanitarian example. And I, as president, by the way, I'm going to put several million dollars into this effort. I'm going to start a GoFundMe fund, or I'm going to work with this charitable organization, or however Donald wants to go about it in the private sector. And I'm going to lead by example. So when I'm doing what needs to be done from a security point of view in America, and I get that there's a humanitarian component to this because I don't make the laws. I can't change the laws. I can just be humane the best I can be. And if I cross the line into more than I'm stealing from the U.S. taxpayer, I won't do that. But there is a balance. There is a fine line of defensive measures that must be taken here. And I'm gonna use what's necessary for security, what's necessary for basic humanitarian service because of our current laws. I hope Congress changes these laws immediately so this won't even be necessary. And then I'm going to put tariffs at the borders to help fund it so that it's not all burdened by the American people, if you will. And then I'm going to really lead by example in the private sector and set the stage for churches and charitable organizations and private sector people to really double down and help with this. You know, if every American gave a dollar, you'd have over $300 million. Americans, help me with this. And if you got big philanthropists and celebrities and Donald Trump and people in the private sector, you could raise hundreds of millions of dollars for this border crisis in seconds. And it wouldn't be government paying for it by force. It would be volunteer action by the most charitable nation in the history of the world. And so Donald could really hit the ball out of the park to double down and support the private sector, to support no force but charitable giving, to set the stage to make sure the American people aren't paying for it all or footing the bill by force. I mean, you could set a series of principles in place, Kurt, that could be an example for solutions galore going forward. It would probably make your election for 2020 a grand slam. What do you say?
Well, yeah, when it comes to that whole thing on what to do to really make it where you'd have this massive amount of people, I think there's a lot of things that could be done. I do believe that under the current landscape, without really much change, I don't see hardly any real solutions being offered by the Democrats. And you know, if we fall into the whole Republican-Democrat, you know, kind of same old thing, then I just don't see the president doing anything but getting the landslide that I expect will be massive.
What do you say to my proposals and solutions, though, Kurt?
Well, I like them.
I want to make sure we're talking about answers, real solutions here.
Yeah, I don't remember for sure, you know, if you've mentioned this. I know we have previously. I like the president's move towards protecting life that he's done. You know, I think that could be enhanced in so many ways. I prefer the whole idea of making America great again and returning to the principles that did that. For example, tariffs instead of the income tax. and so many other things that are constitutional. They're within what the founding fathers put there, and the way America ran so much better before, you know. And so I like you said, I think that those things could be done. Why not do them now? But seems like there's so many things that need to be done, whether it's in my own life or you know, others, that I understand not getting everything done all at once.
Amen to that. Now, anyway, that's my take on this. I think that we ought to lead the way. We've got a crisis because of our laws. I'm glad to see some funding go down there. I hope we can work on some of the walls and stop illegal activity altogether down there. But I hope we can also be humane to anybody, no matter how they get here. There is a baseline of dignity. And you would say, not for criminals, Sam. And my response is, I don't know who the criminals are yet. Okay, we've got to find out who are really criminals or who are really coming here to try to have a peaceful life. I've mentioned that before, and we can't pretend they belong in the same basket because they don't. All right, Democrats are now suing Donald Trump to try to get his tax returns. USA Today, this is on the top of the hour news too, Kurt. And this goes to your point about let's just get rid of income tax and move to tariffs. Donald hasn't been taking care of business in terms of shutting down the unconstitutional, satanic, evil IRS at all. He hasn't done anything about it that I can tell. But Texas Representative Kevin Brady, he says this not only weaponizes the tax code and puts every taxpayer at risk, this lawsuit goes further and for the first time circumvents America's democratic process by replacing the U.S. House voice with Nancy Pelosi's voice. Now, I don't mean to be rude, but I agree that, you know what? The Democrats have no authority to sue President Trump to get his tax returns. And what they would say is, oh, wait a minute, this committee has the subpoena power. Wait a minute, but you know what? You can't use your subpoena power to get an unconstitutional agency to deliver your goods, Kurt. That's the first problem. So there's a fly in the ointment in that you may have subpoena power, committee in Congress, but what you don't have is the ability to use your subpoena power to direct an unconstitutional agency to do your bidding. That you don't have authority. And so the battle's on. Donald doesn't want his tax returns released. The Democrats want it released. But Kevin Brady is saying that somehow this is going to weaponize the IRS, Kurt, as if the IRS is not already weaponized. He acts like we're crossing a Rubicon here or something's changing. The IRS has been weaponized against people for decades, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? This weaponized the tax code and puts every taxpayer at risk. That's a fact. But, Kurt, the very existence of the IRS weaponizes the tax code. Instead of it being tariffs at the border, instead of it being apportionment taxes, instead of it being reliant on the checks and balances that made America great, it obliterates the checks and balances and turns the IRS into a hostile judge, jury, and executioner. And so Kevin Brady might not understand this. Maybe we need to call the congressman and sit down with him and educate him a little bit. But it's interesting. He's in Texas, and so is our buddy Steve Stockman, who tried to hold Lois Lerner accountable for weaponizing the IRS against conservatives. And Lois Lerner's running around free. This Texas congressman, instead of talking about the republic he swore an oath to, he's talking about democratic principles. And then Kevin Brady, is he paying attention to the fact that Steve Stockman's in prison and Lois Lerner's running around free? I mean, when has the IRS not been weaponized? Let's see what Kurt says to that in seconds.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a Friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
So my point is, no one's taking care of business and getting rid of the weaponized IRS. And no one's even creating accountability about the weaponizing of the IRS. Nancy Pelosi Lois Lerner run free. Steve Stockman in prison. And now the Democrats are trying to get the tax returns of Kevin Brady of Texas. This weaponizes the tax code and puts every taxpayer at risk. Well, Kurt, when in the existence of the IRS has every taxpayer not been at risk, sir?
Well, Sam, you know, I certainly couldn't agree more. But I was looking, just Googling, and I know I shouldn't. I just, you know, it's just habit. But, Brady and the news, yeah.
What else are you going to do?
That's a great point.
The problem
point,
is we don't have any alternatives. The conservatives don't build anything, so there's no alternatives, my friend. Now, I know, don't call me up and tell me there's these different, you know, DuckDuckGoose and all these other search engines, because they exist. I get it. And they're valuable to use, but they're certainly not the default, and most devices aren't geared towards them, right?
Right. And so I was looking through some of the news headlines that include Kevin Brady, and everyone that I can see, it pretty much summed up like this. Tax cuts may not pay for themselves, at least not yet, says GOP leader, and then they talk about Kevin Brady. So in other words, they're negative towards the whole tax cut idea.
In other words, they're hinting that it's a failure, Kurt, by their manipulation.
Yeah. And in my opinion, that's disingenuous, simply because the way they would do it, if it was their guy or their, you know, supposed solution, they would say, well, you know, with all these connected things to, that rely on the tax cuts, and in other words, the movement through our economy and how it helps encourage all this other activity. There's no way to really know what that all is, but we have seen this, and they could highlight the additional jobs and the number of people that are working instead of collecting a government check, and that kind of thing. But they choose not to. One article I did find that I thought was useful. This is from TexasGOPVote.com about this, and they do quote, or they do say it's written literally by Kevin Brady on the 2nd of July, so that'd be yesterday at 1:38 p.m. It says President Trump's, signed sweeping tax reform into law. And so I guess this would be a tweet, but it's on TexasGOPVote.com. It says, yesterday, as the top Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, Kevin Brady, it says, I released the following statement after President Donald J. Trump signed H.R. 3151, the Taxpayer First Act. He said, I'm proud that after 3 years of thoughtful bipartisan work, our bold package of reforms to the Internal Revenue Service, are the law of the land. Thank you to President Trump for signing this historic legislation, which is the biggest and boldest step in over 20 years to redesign and restructure the IRS into an agency with a singular mission, quality taxpayer service. This bipartisan law requires the IRS to submit to Congress in 2020 a plan to redesign the agency so that it serves taxpayers first. For the first time, it puts into law a truly independent appeals process so our taxpayers' claims are heard fairly. It also levels the playing field to ensure taxpayers have the same information as the agency, better protects our taxpayers' information, and reins in past IRS abuses to guarantee families and local businesses never have to fear having their accounts and property seized without fair and due process. That would be a change, Sam, but...
Is this real legislation that got signed yesterday for reals? I'm thoroughly confused.
That's what it says on the...
Now you got to go research and find out if it's really a law that got passed and did it get signed yesterday. And, you know, you got to do the due diligence and research it. And, you know, if that's true, that's progress. But again, you know what? The IRS has been a criminal, weaponized organization from its inception, Kurt. And I don't see how a promise to rein it in is going to help. I mean, I appreciate the gesture and I hope it's successful. But I don't, maybe I'm jaded because I've seen this over and over and over, but I don't have a lot of confidence. Do you? Now, if this did get passed yesterday, I commend President Trump, and I'm glad for this congressman bringing it to our attention. But, Kurt, do you see it anywhere in the news? And I'm surprised
Sam, I trolled news items, and
I don't see it.
That, well, I mean, I, like I say, the place I found this was after doing the Google search, but, yeah, I had to go way down low and then find under TexasGOPVote.com, which is says it's posted yesterday at 1:38 p.m. and says, I released the following statement. You know, this is written by Kevin Brady after President Donald J. Trump signed H.R. 3151, the Taxpayer First Act. But, you know, like you say, I don't see it anywhere else, but I believe... That doesn't always mean that it's not the case. It just means that they don't want to tout it, I don't think, Sam.
Well, I'm sure you're right. But if so, you know, some Democrats had to pass it in the House and the Senate. If we really have that kind of a tax break or tax, you know, backing off of the IRS, you would think that Rand Paul or Ron Paul or WorldNet Daily or Breitbart or IJR or, I mean... wouldn't somebody focus on it? So I'm not here to say that it's not true, but wouldn't Donald be tweeting about that? Is it on Donald's Twitter feed? So I'm not here to argue. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying, man, this is a struggle, right?
When you put well, that's the way it always is for a good thing, Sam. When
you're
you
right
put
about
in
that.
HR 3151 into Google, you get the Taxpayer First Act. Which is basically the first time I've heard about it. And it says there are two summaries for H.R. 3151, passed House 610. So it says it passed the House on June 10th. The bill revises requirements for the IRS regarding its organizational structure, customer service, enforcement procedures, cybersecurity, and identity protection management. Anyway, it goes on. There's a YouTube. It says the president one day ago signed this. It says in a signing ceremony for H.R. 3151, the Taxpayer First Act. It's got 57,524 views. It's 20 minutes and 21 seconds long. So, you know, as far as I can see, this is something that happened, but
All right.
It's published by the White House.
Send me the YouTube link, July. The URL. I'll download it and see if we can play part of it or whatever. But I don't even see Donald tweeting about this.
Okay.
And if this really happened, in my opinion, we're really going to rein in the IRS. It's not perfect, but it is a start, and it is something to be hoped for. I wouldn't take it to the bank, and I wouldn't hold my breath. But I am saying it's a start, and we got to start somewhere, Kurt. This is an example where it's up. If it were me, I'd just shut down the unconstitutional, satanic, weaponized IRS in the first place, because I believe it to be a criminal enterprise. Nevertheless, you know what? If we're going to rein it in, hey, Kevin Brady, at least he's talking about it. And, you know, I wish Donald would talk about it more. And, you know, that's a signing that the mainstream press needs to, you know, air. Nevertheless, there you go. Meanwhile, in fake news, I guess a new video is out, Kurt, confirming that AOC, that's Ocasio-Cortez, she had a crying incident where she was crying for the sad troops, and she said women are having to drink out of toilets on the border. And anyway, then she had this big crying spell and everything else, but it turns out it's a lie. Other angle videos show that, first off, she wasn't really crying. It was faked, and it wasn't about the children like she says. There's not suffering children. It was an empty parking lot, and the whole thing was staged, Kurt. Did you see this?
I did see some report about it, and I'm not, you know, really, I'm not surprised.
So you would think that Donald would be highlighting this and some other Republicans would be highlighting this, but I only see One News Now is the biggest group focusing on it, Kurt. And I commend them. I mean, it's good news. Not good news that she faked the news, but it's good news she's getting caught and that someone's interested in the truth. Right? But this is the propaganda that we see, and I'm just saying, hey, when a congresswoman intentionally creates a blatant fake news story, is there going to be any accountability for this, Kurt? That I can't see any.
Well, that's where a good media, and I underline and underscore the word good, would do its due diligence.
Like One News Now with the other angle videos and photos?
That's right. That would be right. You know,
and then Liberty Roundtable Live for seeing the story people and grabbing onto it and highlighting the inconsistencies and bringing up the fact that there should be some kind of accountability for that fake news?
Exactly.
You know, the mainstream press should have done their due diligence, as One News Now did, and documented this crime, but they won't do that against their own Ocasio-Cortez. She's the darling, Kurt.
Yeah, I see a report on it on WorldNet Daily, and they're, you know, talking about it there as well.
I commend WND. They're one of my favorite news services because I think they are genuinely doing their very best to get to everything they can. Now, I'm a little concerned about WND, though. You know, they've been putting out a lot of great information, but I've been reaching out to them for typical interviews, you know, to try to help them and highlight a lot of their stuff, Kurt. But, man, they usually get back to me instantaneously, and now they're not. So, staff-wise, I think they're struggling, and I think they're having a hard time, and I think they're just doing their best to get to everything. I wish I could help more. But they're under siege, Kurt. Sad tale to tell.
It looks like the Washington Examiner's got a piece on it, too. It says that during Ocasio-Cortez's, or I like what one guy calls her, AOC stands for All Out Crazy, but anyway.
She is. Who's the one guy, by the way, Kurt? You?
I can't remember. No, I heard it from somebody else. I mean, I just like using good things, and so I'm trying to remember where it was. It might have been Mark Levine.
You got to write that down.
You know, I just don't remember. But during her visit to the Border Patrol facility, this was on Monday this week in El Paso, she screamed at federal law enforcement agents in a threatening manner and refused to tour the facility, according to two witnesses. That's what the Washington Examiner, which, you know, if you're going to try to get some real news out of Washington, you don't want to go to the other guys. I think Washington Examiner is one of the best there. Rodriguez talks about, you know, a Reverend Samuel Rodriguez said, even as a veteran of immigration advocacy in the U.S., I was shocked at the misinformation of the crisis at the border. Yeah, so he's telling you it's hard to get the truth, Sam.
Well, he's spot on right about that reality check. So you got the fake news by Ocasio-Cortez. You've got buried news about this signing of reining in the IRS. In the next 5 minutes between hours, I'll try to go through this 20-minute audio clip, figure out what we need from that, and double down on the signing here and see if we can't highlight it a little better. That's my normal job. You know, 20 minutes of work in 5 minutes. I'll see what I can do. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Happy extended 4th of July to all of you. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. God save the Republic of the United States of America.